Starting here at the bottom, Mem Bet Amud Bet, the new Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ve'elu Dvarim, She'ein Chayavim Aleihem Mishum Pigul. These are items for which one is not Chayav B'Pigul. And as Rashi explains to us, that means that you're not Chayav Karet if you consume these items. If they are part and parcel of a Behemah, or an item that became Pigul, then you do not get the Chayav Karet for consuming them. Even though some of these items are parts of actions, or parts of a vodot that would actually make pigul of the animal, they themselves do not become pigul. And what are the examples of this? Hakometz, the kometz itself, even though one could have a machshava when they are mafrish the kometz from the mincha, or when they put the kometz into the kli sharet, or take it to the mizbeach, or they're maktirat on the mizbeach, one could have a machshava pigul about the korban, but that machshava will impact the korban, not the kometz itself. And why is that? So as Rashi explains to us, she'ein pigul chal ela davar she'esh lo matirim acherim. Pigul only is able to be chal or come about on an item that is nitar ayidei something else. It has to be something that through another item it becomes mutar be'achila. Now the kometz itself is a matir. It allows one to consume the mincha. But there is nothing that is matir the kometz. And therefore, the kometz can create pigul if you have a machshava during avodot with the kometz, but the kometz itself will not become pigul. The haktoret, the alivona. The same is true of both the ktoret as well as the livona. The livona we've seen before that goes along with the kometz. That's the other matir for the mincha, or the livona is also what's on the shnei bazichim for the matir for the lechem apanim. So it is matir other things. Therefore, machshavet pigul can affect while you're doing a voda in it, although it itself, the levon itself, does not become pigul. And the same with the ktoret. The ktoret has no other matir that allows it to go on the mizbeach. It itself is placed on the mizbeach. Uminchat kohanim. As we discussed yesterday, the minchat kohanim are unusual. The Torah says that a minchat kohen kulo kalil Hashem. That a minchat kohen has nothing that is left behind. There is no shirayim. The entire mincha is placed on the mizbeach. That means, as opposed to a regular mincha, the shirayim were nitar, ayadeh the kometz and levona. So in a regular mincha, the mincha itself can become pigul because it has matirim, like the kometz and the levona. But minchat kohen, since everything ends up in the mizbeach, there is no matir. There is nothing that is matirit because it will not be mutar in any way. It'll end up on the mizbeach, and that's it. That's all you do with it. Now, a minchat kohenim comes in two different forms. One is the regular Kohen who brings a Minchat Nidava to the Mikdash. The other one is the Minchat Kohen Mashiach. The Minchat of a Kohen Mashiach is that every day the Kohen Gadol brought Machatzita Bavoker, Machatzita Ba'erev. He had a Minchat Chavitei Kohen Gadol that was brought each day. In addition, that same mincha was brought by a new kohen who was brought into service when he came to service. But all of these are classified as minchat kohenim. Since they're classified as minchat kohenim, they are kulo kalil Hashem, and they can't become pigul because there is no matir for them. Ve'adam. Again, the dam itself is matir the korban. It's matir the emurim to end up on the mizbech. It's matir the basar be'achila. It provides the kapara. But the dam itself has no matir that places it on the mizbech. Therefore, the dam will not have a din of pigul. It's not a matir. It's necessary to get the blood, but it's not a matir. Shkita is just like holacha. It's not a matir. Holacha is an avodah that allows one to get the dam to the mizbeach. It's not a matir in of itself. A matir is something that enables another item to go on the mizbeach or to be eaten by a dam. Shkita is not that way. Shkita just allows you the blood. You still can't eat the behema, and you still can't put the emurim on the mizbeach after you do shkita. Don't think of the kabbalat dam. The dam is what allows that to happen. Ve'an nisachim abayim bifnei atzman. Nisachim that are brought by themselves, they can manifest themselves in two ways. One is a minchat nisachim that is nidava. It's a nidavat nisachim. Or the other possibility is a nesach that comes with a korban. The nesach that comes with a korban, if it's brought with the korban, then that's not what we're talking about. There are sometimes where you bring the korban and then days later you bring the nesach. So that's what we're speaking about here. Either a nesach that's brought Ayidei Nidava, or in essence brought with the Korban, but it wasn't brought at the same time as the Korban, not at the same moment that the Korban was brought. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says that type of Nesach is not considered to be part of the Korban. The Korban itself is not matir this item, because it's coming independently of it, and therefore it cannot be or made into Pigul. V'chachamim omrim, af abayim im behema. Even Nisachim that come with the behema, So Rabbi Meir is indicating that if a nesek came along with the behemah, that nesek would be able to become pigul. Why? Because the behemah is what is matir, the nesek, to be consumed or to be put on the mizbeach. So if that's the case, then you have a matir. The Chachamim say, no, that even the nesek that comes with the behemah is not that way. How do I know that? Because you don't have to bring it with the behemah. You can bring it afterwards. You can bring it later. By the fact that you can bring it later, that tells you that the behemah itself is not the matir over here.
So Mali 1 minute, Mali 5 days.
But that's not much matir to the mizbeach. You can bring the nesek by yourself on the mizbeach, or you are obligated to bring a nesek along with the korban. But the korban itself is not what's matir the nesek. True, if you bring the nesek before the korban, you'd discharge that obligation. But that obligation is simply to bring a nesek along with a korban. But the korban itself is not what is matir the nesek, because I can bring the nesek 10 days later. It's just, again, I think it's similar to shkita, which is that it's a time post. There are things that you have to do in order to get to the next stage. Not a matir in the sense that, look, the obligation only comes after the behemah is brought. So therefore, if you bring it before, you haven't discharged the obligation, because the obligation was in effect. But that's not to say that the behemah is the matir. And therefore, you can bring it today, you can bring it tomorrow, and it's not necessarily associated. It's matir itself to get on the mizbeach. Behemah is not matir. Obviously, Rabbi Meir feels otherwise. Rabbi Meir feels, at least with regards to a nesek that comes along with the behemah, at the time that the behemah is brought, that it is associated with the behemah. It seems like on the same day, that you bring the korban, you would have to bring the nesek on that day. All right, so then also, log shem and shel mitzorah. This is the log of shem that comes along with the mitzorah. That log has shemen. You have to do some avodot with it, including you have to sprinkle it 7 times. Can I get the petach omoleid, which we know because that was one of the items that we brought by the Braita, that how do we know that 7 is ma'akev? You also have to put the shemen onto the behonot, the big toes and the thumbs of the mitzorah. Now, in order to do that, you have to first have the dam hasham go on the thumbs and the toes of the mitzorah. So what would you think? You would think that the asham is the matir for the log hashamen. Since the log hashamen can only be placed on the thumbs and big toes after the dam hasham is placed there, because it's supposed to be placed, it says, on the makom, that the Dam HaHashem is. So therefore there must be Dam HaHashem there in order for the Log HaShemen to work. Because despite the fact that the Dam HaHashem is a prerequisite for the Log HaShem being placed on the thumbs and the big toes of the Mitzorah, it is still not a Matir. The Dam HaHashem is not the Matir, it's just a prerequisite. Rabbi Meir Omer, Chayivin Olav Mishum Pigul. Shadam ha'asham matiro, because the dam ha'asham is what matir the shem to come. Not only is it a prerequisite, but he believes that the dam ha'asham itself is a matir. V'chol yesh lo matirim ben adam b'da mizbeach. Anything that has a matir to allow it to be consumed for adam or for mizbeach, chayav in alav mishum pigul. Then you are chayav mishum pigul. Ha'ola, when it comes to the ola, dama matir b'sara la mizbeach. The dam that is put on the mizbeach, it's sprinkled the shtayim shein arba, is what's matir the basar, the remainder of the olah, to end up in the mizbeach, ve'ora la'kohanim, and allows the skins of the olah which go to the kohanim to be taken by the kohanim. Until the dam ends up on the mizbeach, you cannot place the olah itself on the mizbeach, and the kohanim cannot take the orot. Olata of, which ends up entirely on the mizbeach, damir matir et basara the mizbeach. The dam on the mizbeach is matir the basar to get on the mizbeach. Olata of, dama matir basara the kohanim, where the of is eaten by the kohanim, the dama is placed on the mizbeach, which allows the kohanim to consume the chatat of. Parim and israfim, usirim and israfim. So now, when it comes to parim and israfim, usirim and israfim, which manifest themselves in different ways, there is the par and seir of Yom HaKippurim that are nisraf. You also have the par neilam davar shel tzibur, and the par kohen mashiach, and the seir levodah zarah. All these require to be nisraf. They're not consumed by anybody. They are burnt up afterwards. So daman, the blood matirat emurim likarev. The dam allows the emurim to be consumed by the mizbeach. Because that's the only achila that we're talking about here. We're only talking about achilat mizbeach and achilat adam. By the parim and the sefirim, there is no achilat adam, because they're burnt. Everything is burnt afterwards. There is achilat mizbeach. Achilat mizbeach is the fats that end up on the mizbeach. So the matir for those fats that end up on the mizbeach is the dam, the netinat dam, whatever the matnot dam are, they are the ones that are matir, the emurim, to end up on the mizbeach. Therefore there is a matir, and the emurim can have pigul associated with them. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and we've seen Rabbi Shimon earlier in the Masechta, kol she'eino ala mizbeach ha'chitzon, since pigul is learned out of the parsha of shlamim, therefore only items whose dam is sprinkled on the mizbeach chitzon, whose avoda is on the mizbeach chitzon, can have pigul associated with it. On the other hand, items whose no dam are inside the heichal, then they do not have a pigul associated with them. You can't have machshev pigul with regards to them because they are not like shlamim. Now, Amar Ulda. Ulda makes the statement: komets pigul. If you have a komets that is pigul, Shelu al gabei mizbeach that was placed onto the mizbeach, paka pigulo mimenu. Then the pigul leaves it. Since it can make other things pigul, which we said before, the komets itself, if you have a machshava during the abadata komets, it can make other items pigul. Hu atzma lo koshkin? Certainly itself, it can make pigul. And the Gemara says, Maika Amar, this makes no sense. You make a statement about pigul disappearing, and then you bring a proof that pigul can come. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means. Im eino mitkabel, heyech mevi achirim lidei pigul. If it itself is not accepted by the mizbeach, how can it make anything else into pigul? Which is what we've said before with regards to pigul. Pigul only works if everything is done correctly. True, you had an improper machshava, but everything else must be done right. So to hear by this komets. You had a machshava about the mincha during this komets, but then you have to get the komets on the mizbeach properly. So that means that if the komets ends up in the mizbeach and consumed and loses its shame pigul when it's on the mizbeach, that's how it can create pigul and other things. If it's not accepted on the mizbeach, then there's no way it can make anything else pigul. Maika Mashmalon, what are you teaching us here? If you're going to tell us that there is no pigul associated with the komets, Tanina, we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah. Elu dvarim she'en chavin alem mishum pigul, a komets, faktoret, alubona, minchat kohanim, minchat kohan mashiach, uminchat nisachim, which is not in our Mishnah. Actually, it's a girsa that Rashi took out of our Mishnah. Vadam, the reason Rashi took it out of our Mishnah is because that minchat nisachim is in machloket, in the next line in the Mishnah, which is anachasachim abayim ifnei atzman. Tosfos tries to say that you could reconcile the girsa, although he says the one problem with reconciling the girsa is that it says minchat nisachim, then dam, and then nisachim abayim ifnei atzman. It doesn't make sense that dam fits between them. So in the end, he leans towards Rashi's girsa to eliminate minchat nisachim over here. So Ella, what's the din you're learning here? Dim alu lo yardu. That if you take something that is pigul and place it on the mizbeach, we don't take it down. If it ends up on the mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have ended up on the mizbeach, but if it doesn't end up on the mizbeach, lo yardu, then we don't take them down. Tanina, we also have a mission that says this. Halan, vayotzei, vatamei, v'shinichat zchut lizmano, v'chut limkomo, imalu, lo yardu. So that's exactly what we have. We have a psulim bekodesh, something that was notar, something that left the area to which it was designated, that tamei, korban that became tamei. Bishinichat chutz l'zmano, it has pigol, as makshevet chutz l'zmano, or chutz l'mkom, makshevet chutz l'mkomo. There, all of these items are pasul. Nevertheless, imalu, if they end up on the mizbeach, lo yerdu. They should not be, they're not brought down, they remain on the mizbeach. Be'ela. So what's the thing we learn from here? Dim yerdu yalu. That if they were taken down, you put them back on the mizbeach. And these items, if they shouldn't end up on the mizbeach. But if they're placed on the mizbeach, we don't take them down. What happens if they do get taken down? Do we put them back up? That we also, Tanina, we also have a Mishnah. Kishem shimalu lo yardu. Just like the din is, if they're placed on the mizbeach, we don't take them off. Kach im yardu lo yalu. If they were taken off the mizbeach, once they're taken down, we don't put them back up again. Lo, tzricha. Shemashla behen ha'ur. That the fire took hold of this comet. It says, Hanami Amra, Ula Chalazimna. We have already a statement from Ula, already taught us this before. Domar Ula, Loshanu Elish Lo Mashla Behena Or. That is only true if the fire has not taken hold of them. Aval Mashla Behena Or Yalu. But if the fire has already taken hold of them, then Yalu. This is modifying the previous statement. That is, Kashem Shimalu Lo Yerdu. If they go on the Mizbech, you don't take them down. Kach Im Yerdu Lo Yalu. If they're taken off the mizbeach, you don't put them back on. Aranet Ula modifies that and says, he qualifies that statement and says, that's only true, Shalom Mashla Behena Or. That's only if the fire hasn't taken hold of them already. Aval Mashla Behena Or. If the fire already took hold of them, then Yalu, then you put them back onto the Mizbeach. So you see that once the fire has taken hold of them, they're considered to be on the Mizbeach. So it says, I would have thought, Hani Mile Eiver. That's true of an Eiver de Mechaber, that it's considered a single unit. An Eiver that ends up in the Mizbeach, once the fire takes hold of a part of it, it's as if the entirety of the Eiver has a fire on it, because it's one single unit, it's one item. Aval Kometz de Mifrat, Kometz is made up of many particles. It's made up of many pieces. Imalo, so therefore, just because there's a fire on a portion of it, who says that the other parts are considered to be Mukrab al Mizbeach? Kamash Falon. That is the Kamash Falon from this statement. Kamash Falon from this statement is that once it ends up on the Mizbeach, it's good. If the fire is taken hold of a part of it, it stays there. If it comes down, we put it back up. And that's the Chiddush of Ula's statement. Going back to Ula's statement, Amarula Kometz Pigol. A Kometz of Pigol She'elu al Gabe Mizbeach. That was placed on Mizbeach. Paka pigulo mimenu. What does it mean, paka pigulo mimenu? We know that our missionary says that it's not pigul. Paka pigulo mimenu means that it's no longer restricted from being placed on the Mizbeach. If it's pigul, you can't put it on the Mizbeach. When does it lose this restriction from being placed on the Mizbeach when it's pigul? After Shemashla Bayan Or, once the fire takes hold of it. Even though I would have had a Havamina to say no, because it's made up of component parts, pieces, particles, therefore when the fire takes hold of it, it only affects the part that has the fire, not the other parts. Kamashmanula, that it does affect the whole thing. Therefore, if there's any fire on this Kometz, once it's on the Mizbeach, if it comes off the Mizbeach, you put it back on, because the Iser Pigul has now been removed from it, and now it belongs on the Mizbeach. We just explained what the statement of Ula is. Then they reworded the phrase like this, Amar, Im Enu Mitkabel, if it's never accepted by the Mizbeach, Hechem Yivir Dimilech Pigul, it can't bring others to Pigul. If it never gets a permanence on the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach is collated at any point, then how can it make anything else Pigul? The only way you can make something Pigul is if the Matirav or Nikrav. So that's the way it reads now. Amar Ula, Kometz Pigul. This is a Kometz Pigul which is restricted from ending up on the Mizbeach. At this point, Shealu, but it did end up on the Mizbeach. Ala Mizbeach, Paka Pigul Mimenu. Then it already has a status of being mutar to remain on the Mizbeach, and you don't have to take it down, or if it's taken down, you put it back up. Because if it's not Niklat Ayyadei Mizbeach, then it wouldn't be able to make anything else Pigul. The only way that it makes other things Pigul is if it's accepted on the Mizbeach. When is that moment of acceptance on the Mizbeach? That's when the fire takes hold of it. When the fire takes hold of it, that's the moment of acceptance. Even though I would have thought maybe not, because it's made up of component particles, and therefore when the fire takes a hold of a part of it, it doesn't take care of the whole, that's Kamash Falon. No, once the fire takes a hold of part of it, it's as if the whole Kometz is on the Mizbeach and should remain on the Mizbeach. If it comes down, we put it back up. So Amar Rav Achai, Hilka, from this you would conclude, Hai Kometz Pigul, Dipalge Machit Ara, Upalge Aske Amarocha. There was a Kometz which is half and half. Half of it he puts on the Mizbeach, half of it's still down below, on the ground. Mashla Boa Or, and the fire takes hold of the half that's on the Mizbeach. Masikna Le Lukule Lechatchila. We bring the remainder of that Kometz up onto the Mizbeach in order to finish it off. Because we know that only a kazayat worth of the Kometz has to end up on the Mizbeach. And since here half of the Kometz is on the Mizbeach, and that is sufficient to make it that the Kometz has been accepted. Now we said before, if the Kometz is accepted, it's mutar to place it back on the Mizbeach. So through here, we have half of the Kometz ending up on the Mizbeach, the other half is left on the floor below. When that half that's on the Mizbeach, the fire takes a hold of it on the Mizbeach, then the other half now becomes mutar to place it on the Mizbeach. And that would be a continuation, or pol yotzei, from the statement of Ula, is now that we conclude that once the fire has taken hold of a portion of the Kometz, the remainder of the Kometz now becomes mutar to place on the Mizbeach, even though this is a Kometz of Pigul. Alright. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hapigul ve'anotar v'atamei. She'alan agabe Mizbeach, paka yisur mehen. Pigul, which is the same statement we had by Ula, the notar and tameh, he adds on these additional items that are psulim b'kodesh, something that was left over past the zman, tameh, something that become tameh, that were placed on the Mizbeach, paka yisur mehem, the Israel leaves them. Amar Rav Chisda, Mari Daichi, said, well, what is this? What does this mean? Mizbeach mikveh tara? The Mizbeach is like a mitveh that's meant to hire everything? Why, just because they end up on the Mizbeach, everything's good now? So Amar Rabbi Zera, Shemash Blahena, or no, you have to qualify it. It's not just simply they end up in the Mizbeach, that the fire takes hold of these items. Once the fire has taken hold of these items, then they become, as we said before, Nithar, they become, they're Niklat Ayyadei Mizbeach, Once they're niklat, I give mizbeach, that if they come down, then you place them back up, or they become mutar to bring the remainder of them onto the mizbeach. Meitiv Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna. Acherim omim, which we're going to bump into in a little bit, v'tumato alav. It says in the psukim, we'll read them in a second, tumato alav. Mi, shetumah porachat mimenu, yetzah basar, she'en tumah porachat mimenu. The Gemara wants to know, and that's what the discussion coming up in the Gemara is that there are some psukim in Vayikra Zayin. Psukim in Vayikra Zayin say this, v'basar, asher yigah b'chol tamei, lo ye'achel. Basar that became tamei, one may not consume. We're talking about the basar of kodshim, basar of shlamim, that became tamei, you will not consume. But ish yisarev, it should be burnt. Veha basar, and the basar, kol tahor yochol basar. Any tahor should eat the basar. It's a regular basar that should be eaten by a tahor. The next pasuk is ambiguous, which is, veha nefesh asher tuchal basar mizevach shlamim. An individual consumes the flesh of a zevach shlamim, asher lashem, vetumato alav, and there's tuma on it, then they will get karet. When it says with tuma to alav, what is that tuma on? Is the tuma talking about the basar tamei? Is a tahor person consuming the basar tamei? Or is this a person who is tamei that is consuming the basar tahor? We have seen this before, and we have said many times, we have limudim, which we're going to see again here, that we're talking about tumat aguf. We're talking about an individual who is tamei. Now that is not so simple, because let's read the pasuk, and I'll just read you the diktuk on the pasuk. It says, "Veha basar kol tahor yochal basar." When it comes to a basar, kol tahor, anyone who is tahor yochal basar. So you see the word in the zachar, the basar, kol tahor eats the basar. Then we start the next pasuk. "Veha nefesh asher tochal basar." Nefesh is lashon nekeva. And it says, asher tuchal, with the verb being conjugated in the female form. So it says, the nefesh asher tuchal, basar mizevach ha-shalim asher la-shem. The pasuk ends then, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-himiyana. Nichrita is also the female conjugation. So the nefesh, which eats the basar, will get the karet. Then there's a little line in the middle, v'tumato alav. Tumato alav is conjugated in the male form. It doesn't say tumato aleha. Allah would reference back to the nefesh, but says tumato alav. That alav makes it sound like, what's the male here? Basar. So it sounds like the tumah is on the basar. So the pashtu, the pasuk, based on the conjugation, the male and female conjugation, would say that tumato alav means that the basar is tameh, not the individual. We know, the mesorah is, that that pasuk is talking about tumat aguf. How do you know it's talking about tumat aguf? So achemim omrim, because it says v'tumato alav. Tumato alav means mishi tumah parachat menu. The tumah is on him now, but can leave. It's not permanently there. But that's not true by basar. The basar never loses its tumah. And that's what the achemim omrim. Tumato alav, mishi tumah parachat menu, yetzah basar, shein tumah parachat menu. V'mita, if you are correct here, that once the fire takes hold of the basar tamei, harei tumah parachat mimenu ayidei aor. That the tumah does leave. Once the fire has taken hold of it, it's no longer classified as tamei anymore. It can remain on his back. If it comes down, you put it back up. It becomes totally mutar. Talking about that it comes to hor by a mikveh. Where it says, mi de mikveh ktiv? Where in the pasuk do you see the word mikveh? It just says tumah to alav. The tumah is on it. Meaning it can't be removed. We're dealing over here by basar shlamim. The pasuk is talking about basar zevach shlamim. Ve'tumah to alav. The low chazi lakrova. That's not a basar that ends up on the mizbeach. Ain't achanami basar like a vanola that's supposed to end up in his mizbeach and it's tamei and ends up in his mizbeach. That's nitar aydei ur. But basar zevach shlamim is intended to be eaten by the baalim. Parts of it by the kohenim, but mostly by the baalim. And therefore, there is no tara for this basar. If it comes tamei, it will always be tamei. If it goes up in the mizbeach, it doesn't belong in the mizbeach. It comes back down. It never belonged on the mizbeach.
That if someone is machi and ola that is tamei. That is
higher, otherwise, basar of an ola that is tamei that ends up in the mizbeach. Once the fire is shalait in it, then if it was taken off, you put it back on. It's now mutar al mizbeach, and that becomes mutar to place it on the mizbeach. Lost its restriction of tumah at this point in time. Now it can't be consumed because it was an ola, but it still has its mutar to place it back on the mizbeach. That's what it will allow you to do. So now Ravina Amar v'tumato alav mi shetumah porachat mimenu kush shalem. To tumato alav means on it there's tumah, but that tumah can disappear. But that's as long as the item is still the item that you're talking about. Yetzah basar, davar she'en tumah barachim menushu shalem, ela kishu chaser. The only time that the basar loses its shame tumah is when the fire is taking hold of it, means that the fire is consuming it. So the basar as it is now is tameh. That tumah cannot be removed from it as it is. It'll have to have fire consume a portion of it in order for it to lose its status of tumah. That's not right of a human being. Human being does not have to be consumed in order to have its tumah removed from it. A human being, once they go to the mikveh, they can remove the tumah from them, and they're still in the exact state that they are now. We had three limudim about misha tumato parachat mimenu. We had the achimim that use that as their source for the fact that this pasuk is talking about tumat guf and not tumat basar. We had a question if that's true. You do have tara for the basar. So we had Papa, then Rav Papa, and then Ravino all make suggestions about how that limud could work and still not undermine what we said about tumat basar once the or is taken hold of it, that it is mutar to stand on mizbech. Now gufa tumato ala b'tumata gufa kadum medaber. How do you know this? This is the braita that's going to bring all the opinions about how we know that this pasuk is talking about tumat guf and not tumata basar, which I pointed out to you, the difficulty with that, it really sounds like the pasuk is talking about tumat basar, because of the change from the female to the male conjugation. So how do I know that's not true? So this is it. Ata omer b'tumat guf, u'enel b'tumat basar. Nemar kan tumato, v'nemar lahalan tumato. Says here the word tumato, says further on, tumato, malahalan b'tumat guf, hakad omer, just like further on. It's talking about tumat guf, afkan b'tumat guf hakad medaber. So we saw this earlier in the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that this b'tumato alav was a gzeira shava that was used for Rabbi Yochanan to teach us that this pasuk was talking about tumat guf. What is the gzeira shava? Well, I read you the pasuk already by Shlomim. I'll read it to you again. By nefesh, asher tochal basar mizevach Shlomim Hashem Hashem v'tumato alav. We don't know what that tumato alav is. V'nechata nefesh miyameh. So we go and look in Parshat Chukat. In Bamidbar, in Parshat Chukat, in Bamidbar, it says, "Kol anugea b'meid nefesh adam asher yamut v'lo yitchata et mishkan Hashem timei v'nechrita." Someone who becomes tamei, tamei tumat nefesh, tumat tameit, and then goes into the mishkan, is chayav karet. Nechrita nefesh im Yisrael timei nidal ozarak alav. He was not nithar. Tamei ye old tumato bo. It says over there, old tumato. So tumato, that gezeirah shava of tumato, tumato teaches us that just like by Parshat Chukat, it's talking about Tumat Aguf, also over here when it says V'tumato Alav, we're also talking about Tumat Haguf. So that's the limud that the Braita has. It has a gzeirah shava between Tumato, Tumato. And that teaches us that even though it, from Pashtut and Posuk, it sounds like it's talking about Tumat Basar, nevertheless, the gzeirah shava teaches us that it's talking about Tumat Haguf. Now we'll learn out from Biat Mikdash by Chukat when it's talking about the Parah and Duma over there. That's one limud. Now the next limud is Rabbi Yossi Omer. Ho v'nemar kodshim b'lashon rabim, v'nemar b'tumah b'lashon yachid. So b'tumat aguf midaber. So Rabbi Yossi says you're right about the male-female conjugation. When you look at the male-female conjugation, it sounds like the person is tahor, he's the one who becomes chayav karet, but it's the basar because that's conjugated in the male that is becoming tameh. On the other hand, he says if you look at the plural versus the singular conjugation, then it favors saying that it's tumat aguf. Because it says here, "V'nefesh yetuchal basar mizevach hashlamim." Rashi claims here that shlamim is in the plural. Therefore, the kodshim are plural. Asher l'Hashem. Then it says, "Vitum ato alav," in the singular. So, what's in the singular? The pasuk began "v'nefesh." The nefesh is in singular, and tumat alav is conjugated in the singular. So, it sounds like the tumat alav is going referencing back to the nefesh, not on the basar shlamim. The basar shlamim, which is in plural, that the tumato alav is not referencing. Now it is somewhat difficult because the shlamim is modifying the basar and it's in the singular. It's basar shlamim, which is really the singular. Tosfos, the Shita Mekubetzet raises the issue. Tosfos has other gersot and other gemaras that bring the proof of the pasuk, not from the pasuk that we brought from Chukat, like Rashi said, but from an alternative pasuk in Vayikra Chabet. Vayikra Chabet, there it's also talking about Tum'ah. There's an additional pasuk there that it says, "Ish asher yikrav mikol zarachem el kodashim asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael Hashem b'tumato alav." In that fact, then the gersa in our gemara, which we have in parentheses, would be tumato alav, tumato alav. The gzeir shavu would be tumato alav and tumato alav. Our pasuk in Chukat does not have the word alav associated with it. It only has the word tumato. The way pasuk that Tosfos has in these alternative girsaot is that it's tumato alav, tumato alav. The advantage of doing that is then the plural that we're talking about here is kodshim. It's not about pasar shlamim, but kodshim in general. Since the tumat aguf that we're referencing over here is kodshim, then the kodshim would be the plural they're mentioning in the pasuk, not the zevach hashlamim. Because I'll read you the pasuk again. It says, "Ishu sheyikrav mikol zerachem lakodeshim sheyakdishu bnei Yisrael Hashem b'tumato alav." That tumato alav is referencing back to the kodeshim. That kodshim is in the plural. That's where Rabbi Yossi is making a statement about that pasuk, not about the pasuk that is found here in Vayikra Zayin. So the advantage of learning that other girsa is that you do have the plural, the word kodshim there, versus the zevach hashlamim that Rashi is using in our pasuk over here. Breita continues and offers another opinion. Rabbi Omer, v'achal b'tumat aguf akotov midaber. But it says v'achal, that teaches us that we're talking about tumat aguf. The pasuk that's subsequent to this pasuk in Vayikra Zayin says, nefesh kitigab chotamei, v'achal mibzbasar zevach hashlamim. A nefesh that touches any tumah and then eats mibzbasar zevach hashlamim. And that v'achal over there is a hochacha that the first kra was also talking about achila of someone that is tameh. He says v'achal mibasar zevach shlamim. The achal is a male configuration. That means that the eater, the male conjugation, is referencing to the eater. So too the tumato alav in the previous pasuk, which is the male conjugation, is referring back to the eater, not to the nefesh, which is the nekeva. So Rebbe says, the next pasuk tells me that the eater, the consumer of the kodshim, is a male configuration, is a male conjugation. If that's true, then in the previous pasuk, the Gemara will have to show us how that works. So too, in the tumato alav, in the previous pasuk, which is the male conjugation, is referring to the eater, not to the basar itself. That's Rebbe's. And then we finally have the achirim, which we just quoted above. Achirim omrim, the tumato alav. Mish tumah parachet mimenu. It's a basar, shein tumah parachet mimenu. When it says tumato alav means temporarily, not the permanent tumah. That's true of people, that's not true of the basar. And that's where we brought the question before. So here is a braita that we are trying to determine in Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Chaf. How do we know that pasuk is talking about tumat aguf and not tumat basar? We have four different ways of learning it. Tana Kama, who says that we learn it out of tumato, or tumato alav, depending where you think the Gezer Shava goes to. We have Rabbi Yossi, who says it's lashon rabim, lashon yachid. And then we had Rabbi, who says from the subsequent pasuk, you see that the male conjugation is used by the ochel, the one who is eating, the person is consuming, therefore the tumat olav is also referring to him. And then we have the achirim, who say tumat olav indicates that the tumat is temporary, not permanent. That's true of human beings, that's not true of the basar. They are all dealing with the problem in the pasuk, which is the conjugation of the consumer in the pasuk. And the one who gets karet is in the female form, hanefesh, tochal, and nichvata, which is all in the female conjugation, yet tumat olav is the male conjugation, which would indicate that it's referencing the basar and not the tumat aguf. So we need a limud that shows us, no, that tumat olav really means tumat aguf, and not tumat habasar. Amarar, Rebbe Omer, v'chal b'tumat aguf akatuv mitaber. That the achal in the subsequent pasuk teaches me that the previous pasuk b'tumato alav is referencing to the male form, and therefore it's talking about the goof, the person himself. My mashma. What is Rebbe saying? Zamarova. Kol kra d'lo mefarsha le Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi, v'kol madita d'lo mefarsha le Rabbi Zeiri lo mefarsha. Any pasuk that's not explained by Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi has not explained properly, and any braita that is not explained by Rabbi Zeiri has not been explained properly. So Hachi Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi. This is Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi explains what Rebbe's understanding of the pasuk is. He helps us to read the pasukim. Ho patucha patacha katu b'lashon nekeva. V'seyem b'lashon nekeva. The pasuk begins with lashon nekeva and ends with the lashon nekeva. Lashon zachar be'emtza and lashon zachar be'emtza. B'tumat aguf akadu midaber. Therefore, the pasuk is speaking about tumat aguf. The subsequent pasuk that Rebbe brings starts out nefesh kitiga, which is a female conjugation. Choltamei ve'achal mi'bazar zevach shlamim is a male conjugation. Then v'nichvata nefesh ayi is in the female conjugation. So you have the exact same structure in the next pasuk. You have female conjugation, which is nefesh kitiga, just like in our pasuk, which is nefesh shetuchal. Then you have at the end of the pasuk v'nichvata, and so too in our pasuk you have v'nichvata, which is a female conjugation. And in the middle you have a male conjugation. But in the pasuk that Rebbe brings, it's clear that the male conjugation is talking about the individual, because it says v'achal mibasar zevach shlamim, that he ate from the basar zevach shlamim. Well, the eater is clearly the tumat aguf. So therefore, just like in the subsequent pasuk, the pasuk after the pasuk that we're looking at chaf, when it says it in chaf aleph, it does female, male, female, and the male is talking about tumat aguf. So too in our pasuk in chaf, when we say v'nefesh etochal basar female, And at the end, Minecha Tav Nefesh is female, but the Tumata Olav is male. That male will also be Tumata Guf, just like it does. It parallels the subsequent Pasuk. And that's what Rav Yitzchak Bar Dumi taught us. Rav Yitzchak Bar Dumi taught us that Rebbe's proof is from the fact that the next Pasuk has the exact same structure. And the same Pasuk, the next Pasuk has the same structure. It's clear that the male conjugation is talking about Tumata Guf. So to in our Pasuk, the male conjugation is also teaching us about Tumat Haguf. Matznita, where is the case that Rav Ziri explained the Braita so well that we always need Rav Ziri to explain us a Braita? The Tanya, we had a Braita. Im nemeru kalot, lama nemeru chamarut. It says the light ones, why does it say the strict ones? Im nemar chamarut, it says the strict ones, lama nemeru kalot. Why does it say the less strict or the lenient ones? Im nemar kalot velo chamarut, because had it said the lenient ones and not the strict ones, hayti emer ala kalot belav, that the lenient ones get a lav, only chivlav, a chamurot, v'mita. And those that are strict get mita. L'kach ne'mar, chamurot. Therefore, it told us about the chamurot to tell us that chamurot get a lav also. V'im ne'mar chamurot. If it only tells us about the chamurot, the strict ones, v'lo ne'maru kalot, doesn't tell us about the lenient ones, ha'itimer, ala chamurot, yeh chayav, ala kalot, yeh patur. That only for the chamurot are you chayav, but the kalot, the lenient ones, you won't be chayav at all. Kach ne'mar, kalot. Therefore, it wrote both of them, the kalot and chamurot. So you're saying to me, Simon, what is this talking about? That's what the Gemara says too. My kalot. What are we talking about here? What does it mean, lenient and chamur? Ilema, so what are you going to suggest over here? Kalot is ma'aser. Chamurot are truma. So we're talking about someone here who is tamei. Tamei tumat aguf. And he consumes ma'aser. Or someone that is tamei tumat aguf and consumes truma. The psukim that we're referencing are psukim in Vayikra Perachav Bet. Vayikra Chavbet, it says, Ish ish mizaron vutzaro zah b'kodeshim lo yochal. Ad asher yitar. He's not only eat to kodshim until he gets tahor. Two psukim later, that was pasuk Dalit. Pasuk Vav, it says, Nefesh shidigab b'tamad arif, do yuchal min hakodeshim, ki im rachatz b'saroba mayim. He can't eat until he goes to the mikveh. Uba shemesh v'tahor. He is tahor after the sun sets. So now, you have two types of tahara that are created over here. You have a tahara that is created bit rachatz b'mayim, that if he goes to the mikveh, then he's tahor. We have another set of Tahara that only is Baha Shemesh. Only once the sun sets is he Tahor. The difference between them has to do with Maaser and Truma. Maaser can be consumed by a Tvul Yom. Truma cannot be consumed by a Tvul Yom. Therefore, an individual with Tamei that went to the Mikveh and is just waiting for the sun to set, he can consume Maaser, but he cannot consume Truma. He has to wait until the sun sets to consume the truma. When it says the maaser, it says that you're not allowed to consume it. Lo yuchal min hakodeshim, ki im rachatz b'saro b'mayim. You're not allowed to eat. That's a lav. There's a lav if you are tamei, if someone has tumat aguf, to consume maaser. That's lo yuchal min hakodeshim. On the other hand, when it comes to truma, if you don't wait, duvah shemesh v'taher, if you're not tahor, at the end of that, in Pasuk Tet, it says, v'lo yisav alav chet, umetu bo ki chalulu. If you do consume truma, bit tumat amet, or truma on the body, tumat aguf, then you're chayav mita bidei shemayim. So the punishment for someone with tumat aguf, who consumes maaser, lav. Punishment for someone who consumes truma, bit tumat aguf, chayav mita bidei shemayim. So that's what the Gemara wants to suggest over here. Maaser is the kula. Maaser is the kula one. You only get a lav for maaser b'tumat aguf. The truma is the chamura side because you get chayv mita b'day shemayim. That's the chamura side. So Gemara says, wait a minute. You can't read that into this braita at all. Why is that? Ilei makalot maaser chamurot truma hayti omer. So the braita says, I would have said b'mita. I would have had a havamina that the more chamur item gets a chiyuv mita. So over here, the more chamur item is truma. I would have thought it gets mita. In the end, because it's written, it gets a lav. What do you mean? Hashanami ha-mimita. That's not true. If you have tamei tumat aguf and you consume truma, you do get a chiyuv mita. So that can't be what the braita suggested, that if I had not written about the chamur, I would have said the chamur gets mita. Now that it's written, I know it gets a lav. That's not true. Truma does get a chiyuv mita. Vitru. Ilo ne'mar, hayiti omer, b'mita. Had it not said, had it just said it by maaser, and not said it by truma, then I would have thought that it gets a chiyuv mita. It says, dayol avol min adin, liot kenidon. How could you have said it? Maaser is a lav. If you have tumat aguf and you consume maaser, you get a lav. Had it not written about truma at all, what would I said? Kal v'chomer l'truma. Truma is more chamur. So kal v'chomer maaser, the truma you would get a lav for eating it. But what do you mean? Of course you get a lav. You wouldn't have any havamim to say you get mita. It's zayol of homin adin klaot kuni dom. If by maaser you don't get mita, how could you ever learn by truma that you get mita? So that can't be the explanation of this braita. Ella, here's the next attempt. Kalot tumat sheres. Chamurot tumat meit. That depends what type of tumah you have. The kula is if you have too much sheretz, and the chamura is if you have too much mate. Obemai. Okay, we'll accept that as being the difference. But what are you talking about here? He's tamei tumat aguf, either because he came in contact with the sheretz or because he came in contact with the meat. So now, what is he doing that's wrong? Is he consuming truma? Ibe truma, idi bi idi, ava bemita. By truma, it doesn't matter how you became tamei. If you have tumat aguf and you consume truma, both of those instances, whether you're tumat, tumat sheretz, or tumat amet, you're chayav mita b'dishmayim. Vitu. In addition to Aglakach Nemru Chamarot to Belav, and you're going to say, the reason it says Chamarot is to teach you that everything is a Lav, Haba Mitahi. This whole, by Truma, you're always Chayav Mitah. There is no Lav over here. So that can't be the explanation. Ve'er Bechilat Maaser. So what are you going to suggest? The difference between Tumat Sheretz and Tumat Meit applies to consuming Maaser. Well, if that's the case, Imlo Nemru Chamarot, Ayti Amer Al Chamarot Mitah. What do you mean? If it had not said the Chamarot by Tumat Maaser, I would have said, Achamurot v'mita, ha, mitumat sheretz ke'atyo. The whole Kal v'chomer comes from tumat sheretz. You tell me tumat sheretz, tumat aguf, therefore b'ma'aser, you get a lav. So now I would have thought, Kal v'chomer, by tumat amet, that you should get chiyuv mita. Again, dayola vo minidin, liot kenidon. How could you learn a chiyuv mita over here? There is no chiyuv mita mentioned at all b'ma'aser, by tumat sheretz, that you would suggest that by tumat amet, b'ma'aser, that you be chiyuv mita. That can't be the explanation. Here we get finally to the explanation. Amar Zeiri, this is the explanation of the Braita, and this is why Rava said about Zeiri, you need Zeiri to explain the Braita, because he knows how to explain Braita. So Zeiri goes back to our part of our original statement. Kalot, tumat sheretz, chamrot, tumat amet. Kalot means tumat sheretz, and chamrot means tumat amet, which we just tried to explain that way, and we know that doesn't work. V'hochi kamar, this is what it means. Ilu ne'emar tumat sheretz v'ne'emar maser utruma. If it talked about tumat sheretz and explained to us both maser and truma, v'lo ne'emra tumat amet, and it didn't explain to us tumat amet at all, then hayiti omer, I would have said, the psukim say that by maser you get a lav, by truma you get a chiyuv mita for consuming them b'tumat aguf. If tumat sheretz had been only thing written in the psukim, I would have thought kalot ala kalot bilav. If you consume maser when you are tamei tumata sheretz, then you get a lav. Then ve'al achamurot b'mita. But if you consume truma when you are tamei tumata sheretz, you're going to be chaya mita bidei shemayim. Umi di kalot ala chamurot b'mita. And just like when it's dealing with truma and tumat sheretz, you get a chiyuv mita. I would have thought chamurot nami ala kalot b'mita. So too b'maaser, which is the cow, but dealing with tumat amet, which is a chamur. If you have one thing that is chamur and one thing that is cow, that would also bring around a chiyuv mita. I would have thought for maaser, when you consume maaser b'tumat tamei meit, that you would be chayav mita b'dei shemayim. Lekach ne'amar chamurot. Therefore, the pasuk explicitly says tumat mita. To teach you that by maaser, whether it's too much sheretz or whether it is too much mate, both of them only end up with a lav. If someone is too much aguf consumes maaser, he only gets a lav. Truma, whether it's too much sheretz, whether it's too much mate, there you get chiyuv mita. That we weren't in question with. The only thing we had a question was maybe you would think, had it not written about too much mate, you would have thought that by maaser, if you had too much mate but too much aguf that way, you'd be chayav mita. That's what the pasuk clarifies for us, and that's what the Braita is coming to teach us. That maser is always a lav, no matter what the tuma is, and truma is always a chiyuv mita b'dei shemayim, no matter what the tuma is, and that will be the explanation of kalot and chamurot. Kalot is tumat sheretz, chamurot is tumat hamet, and we would have thought in maser we would have thought because of what happens by truma, we would have then extrapolated back to maser. If by truma, when you have tumat sheretz, you're chayav mita because you have one kula and one chumra, so too by maser, if you had one kula which is maser and the chumra of tumat amet, I would have thought the same thing there. Chiyuv mita, the pasuk, and that's what the Braita says. The pasuk clarifies for us: no, chiyuv lav ba maser all the time, no matter what the tumat aguf is, you always get a chiyuv lav. Okay, we'll stop over there.